is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Join me with your hymn books, 322, and let's stand together as we sing, "My Sins Are Blotted Out, I Know." 322, let's stand tonight as we sing.
What a wondrous blessing in God's Word. My sins are blotted out, I know. I trust in His redeeming blood. My sins are blotted out, I know. My sins are blotted out, I know. My sins are blotted out, I know. They are buried in the depths of the deepest sea. My sins are blotted out.
For a treat tonight. Many of our young people are taking part in our service. It's going to be a wonderful blessing. I hope that you'll pray for them even now. Some of them are a little nervous, but I know that God will get them through. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing. Pastor McDonald, you come and lead us.
You know, this morning I was just reminded I forgot birthdays. Isn't that awful? I got so confused about things and I just forgot birthdays. But we have some birthdays and I got them right here in my hands tonight. Roger Corbett has a birthday today. I've been told Sandra Rodson has a birthday today. We have Deanna Kirkwood has a birthday on Monday. Josh Broughton has one on Tuesday. And then I've got here Cheslin Moore has one on Thursday. So be sure to congratulate them sometime during this week and encourage them through that. Listen, Brother John, if you'd pray for us tonight for the offering.
Dark of the midnight, have I aught in my face, while the Lord fell above me, and the to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we hope in Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore,
just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Shall be no more, and the morning brings eternal bread and fare. When the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the rolling call up yonder, I'll be there.
I got to say this, Emily is the prettiest one up here, amen? 233, little is much when God is in it. Let's stand one last time, stretch our legs. 233, sing the first and the last verse.
Yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he came and found them asleep. Then saith he unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again and prayed the second time, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. He is thy hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came and with a great multitude, with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? That thus it must be. Then came they, and that same hour Jesus said to the multitudes, Are you come as against a thief, with swords and staves, for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.
Bring one more lamb back to the fold. It's home.
we pray for these young people before they go off to convention, ask God's blessing on them. And Brother Fred, would you do that for us? Would you stand and ask God's blessing on these young people?
Heavenly Father, we just come before you now to ask your hand, your blessing be with each one of our students that's going to be at Faithway, Lord, for your convention. Help them remember the lines that they've learned, the songs, the music that they're doing, Lord, and we ask for safety in the sports also, Lord. I just pray that everything that is done and said there be your honor and glory. In your name we pray.
And well, good job. I appreciate young people working so hard. And Mrs. Baker has been working very hard with them as well. We appreciate that so much. Turn your Bibles tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I like it when you get up like that, Nick, and just belt it out, man. No fooling around. Get up there and sing that. That was good. And I appreciate that. We're so timid in serving the Lord. Make a loud and joyful noise. Amen. That was good. 1 Samuel chapter 16 tonight. I got thinking about the young people as they were preparing for convention, and Lord burned my heart about another young person in the Bible named David. And there's a lot we can learn about David, and David became, of course, the second king of Israel. And he had a lot of potential, a young man that was after God's own heart. But you know, there was a lot of steps he had to take to get there. And sometimes we desire certain status, or we desire to do more for the Lord. And I understand that. And I think it's wonderful that the Lord burdens your heart for something. But we also have to go through the due order. And we have to learn and we have to grow. And we see the Apostle Paul went away for 3 years and learned in the wilderness. We see that John the Baptist was in the wilderness until he was showing unto Israel. We see that Jesus wasn't even the Messiah until he was 30 years old. And he was baptized and brought into public ministry. And so there are some things that I believe we can learn. And so let's look tonight at 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for the young people tonight that are striving to serve you. We pray that you bless them, and Lord, that they may always use their gifts for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for others. There's more, not just those that are in the academy or in convention, but we thank you for each one that would use their voice and their talents and their time to bring honor and glory to our Savior. Father, we pray that you'd help us tonight as we look in the Word of God and take some lessons in leadership from the life of King David. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us tonight. Bless them to our hearts. And Father, may the Spirit of God help me. I surrender to you. May the Spirit of God teach each one of us. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is believed that David was likely only 12 or 13 years old when Samuel first visited his home. Just a young man, as a matter of fact, he was forgotten and separated from the others, and so he was out keeping the sheep when the prophet came. You know, one day the Bible said he would be king, and he'd be king for 40 years, but he would have to wait a long time before he became king. Some believe that he was well into his 30s before he realized the potential that God had said that he had on that day. As a matter of fact, he was anointed for service. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And think about this with me. The Spirit of God was on him, but it had departed from Saul. So the Spirit-filled man was subject to the man who was now against God. And yet David waited patiently to serve the Lord. I believe that David's life from the time he was just a boy until he was in his mid-30s became a training ground. God used different things and circumstances that would help him grow into being the man that he was and the king that God would have him to be. I think tonight we need to understand and we can learn from these things that God has a plan for our lives as well. But part of that plan is some lessons in leadership. So things that we can grow in or grow to serve if we will just wait patiently on the Lord. You know, a lot of young people, and I like Justin. Where's Justin? Is Justin here? He's here somewhere. He likes to lead singing. Amen? Everybody's seen him lead singing. Matter of fact, I watch him. He's not a bad song leader. You know that? He's got the 4-4 timed out and he's snapping it. They call that the ictus and he's wham. He's got it. He's got some energy. And we can learn from that. And I appreciate that. But I'm always having to say, Justin, now slow down. One day maybe you'll get to lead singing somewhere. One day maybe you'll, because he wants to do it now. Every Sunday he'll say, And bless the Lord for it. I'm not criticizing him. Let me tell you, I'm thankful for people that want to serve. Amen? And so he'll say, I can lead singing for you tonight, preacher. I said, well, Justin, you know, you got to grow a little bit. We got to learn and we take our, you know, we practice. Go lead a song on the bus. Go lead a song in a Sunday school class. I believe he's helped Mrs. Fett lead some singing in her class. And so, hey, that's all part of growing. All part of training. I appreciate the young people tonight coming up, and that's part of growing and training that they get up in front. They're scared. Listen, they got to see tonight what I got to look at every week. That made them nervous. Bless the Lord, they got busy and they worked hard and overcame, and God helped them. And what a blessing, but that's all part of training. David understood that though he was anointed king at 13 or 14 years old, though he was slaying giants at 15 or 16 years old, though he was standing before the king and playing his harp, and maybe that was the dream of every boy in the country, he still couldn't be king until God appointed it. That's the most important thing, and if you take anything from tonight, take this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has a timing for His plan. And God puts us in certain places at certain times, and we should always take the time. Listen, don't miss the lessons that God has for you at every level of life. Sometimes we get discouraged because we say, well, I'm going to be stuck serving down here washing the toilets all my life. Listen, don't miss the lessons that God has there for you. There's a lesson in service. Some of the best lessons Joseph ever learned were in a prison as God was molding him to be second in command of all of Egypt. Some of the lessons that the Israelites learned were learned in captivity over and over again. God would use those as teachable moments. And so tonight, I want you to notice some things that David, I believe, he learned in growing into the position that God had for him. Do you know that everyone in this room, God has a plan for your life? Every one of you. But sometimes we want to bypass and get there. We just kind of want to leap over the rules, don't we? We want to cut corners and try to get, I don't know how many of you boys say, man, I wish I were 16 today and I could drive a car. But there's growing that has to take place first, isn't there? I was teasing the kids in my master clubs a few weeks ago, and I was just saying to them before class started, I said, "Hey, how many of you guys are driving yet?" The oldest one's about 11 years old. And Gabe Gomez says, "Yeah, I'm driving. I said, "Your mother crazy. What do you think you're driving?" And he just smiled with that big old smile. But he says, "Pastor, I would love to drive." He says, "Why do we have to wait till we're 16? Because we have to grow. That's just part of life. There are certain things that God has placed in our lives, and thank God for those hindrances that slow us down and allow us to learn some important life lessons. Tonight, as we look at David, I want you to notice, first of all, David had to learn how to serve in the lesser things. David had to learn how to serve in the lesser things. This is very important. Look at what the Bible says in verse 11. I want you to notice something. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." I want you to notice the scenario with me, if you will, if I could try to paint the picture a little bit. Jesse has called his sons. Not all of his sons, just seven of them. The oldest seven. And he says, "Hey, we're going to worship together. We're going to sacrifice unto the Lord." Now, I would imagine if you were growing up in Jesse's house, that's nothing new. I imagine that would be a regular occurrence for a man of God. A man that would raise a king. I would imagine that the boys would, "Okay, great, Dad, let's get together." "Oh, no, no, you don't understand. This is different. This time the prophet's coming to worship with us. The man of God." Boy, they might have got a little nervous. The Bible even says they asked, "Have you come peaceably?" A lot of time the prophet would come and preach hellfire and brimstone. He would preach the judgment of God. And he says, "Have you come peaceably?" "Yes, I've come peaceably, and we're here to worship." What an opportunity for the home of Jesse to meet with the man of God. And you understand when I say the man of God, there was only one in the whole world at this time. There was just one prophet, one that was the mouthpiece of God, one that would give them the very word of God. They didn't have the privilege of going home and reading a Bible like you do. They depended upon the word of God from the prophet of God. What a special time. And yet as all the brothers began to walk, Jesse yelled back at little David and said, "David! We need you to watch the sheep. Somebody's got to stay with them, David. And I'm sorry you can't come to meet the prophet and you can't come to worship and you can't have this family time, but we just need you to keep the sheep." The Bible never ever indicates that David complained about his station in life. It doesn't say that it was a discouragement to them that he couldn't meet, but I have to think that David must have felt left out. He must have felt like, by the way, when they got together to worship, do you know what else they did? Man, they ate. They had a feast. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, in verse 11, it says, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and Samuel, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him." But let's just say now, "For we will not sit down." It means we're not going to fellowship, we're not going to eat till he come hither. Man, David was really missing out on something. But he had to learn how to serve in the lesser things. I said, well, maybe if Jesse had known better, maybe if he'd known that David had potential to be the king, maybe he would have chosen one of the other brethren. But you have to understand, the other brethren had already paid their dues. They had already worked towards being free from those sheep. They had already put in their time in the fields, and now it was David's responsibility. And though there was something very special going on, he had to learn to serve in the lesser things. I read a quote this week in studying this out. Before he would slay a giant, he would have to carry a lunch. Think about that. David went just carrying a lunch, taking some bread and cheese to his brethren and bringing some food to be an encouragement to the men and the troops that were fighting against the Philistines. And before he would have the glory of slaying a giant, he must humble himself and carry a lunch. The Bible, we notice that, first of all, he would serve his brethren. In verse 11, David stayed back and he kept those sheep. Why? So that the others could go and worship. You know what I think of when I read that? I think of our nursery workers. Man, I tell you what, I don't know if I could be a nursery worker. I don't think they'd let me for one, but I don't know that I would, you know, I don't mind the little ones that are sleeping. Amen? By the way, go have a look at little Allison. She's here tonight. All right? After the service, get out in the hallway and see little Allison. That'll be a blessing. If you're wondering where she is, it'll be the ones that are being pulled back and forth between Jim and Joanne. That's where she is. All right? And but what a beauty. Go and have a look at her. I could handle that as long as they sleep. But man, can you imagine? My thoughts are when we're having a revival meeting, starts at 7 o'clock and it gets to be 8:45, and I come up here and I get looking at my watch and I think, oh, those poor nursery workers. But hey, they serve that you can come and worship. They're giving of themselves. That's what David did. He was serving his brethren. Isn't it interesting that those brothers that he served would one day turn and serve him as the king of Israel? And so we need to understand that God puts us in these places that we can serve others that they might have the freedom to worship the Lord. I mean, I got to be honest with you. How many of you are thankful that when you come to church on Sunday, there's a clean bathroom? Hey, I appreciate Mrs. Took doing that. Keeping the building just spotless. Cleaning all the time. If you see a cobweb, I can promise you that spider made it since Friday. Because they don't go by her eye any day. Listen, I'm thankful for that. But she does it because she wants to serve you. And she wants to serve the Lord. I'm thankful for the nursery workers. I'm thankful for the junior church workers. Junior church workers are the ones that say, listen, adults, you leave your kids with us. Your little angels. And we'll take care of them and we'll teach them the Word of God while you go and you sing the old hymns of the faith. And you listen to the preaching of God's Word. You see, there are a certain gift that God has given people, and it's just a blessing that they would serve other people. David learned that in order to be king, he must learn first to serve other people. It was there that he would slay a lion and a bear. It was there in those wilderness with those sheep that it would build his courage. It gave him great experience for a greater task. It helped him understand the nature of the enemy. It was his job to protect those little herd of sheep. And God used that one day he would protect the nation of Israel by becoming a mighty warrior. So first of all, he had to learn to serve in the lesser things by serving his brethren. Second of all, he would encourage a king. Look at verse 19 of chapter 16. The Bible says, "Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." I want you to notice that before David could become a king, he had to learn how to encourage a king. He would play his harp and encourage him in music. He became his armor bearer, the one that would make sure his armor was always shined and ready for battle. He perhaps would even help dress him when it came time for him to suit up and get onto the back of his chariot. That was the job of David. A menial task at best, and something that perhaps he took great pride in, that he could play the harp, but all his job was just to encourage. To be there to help, to be there to be a blessing. Do you know, it's been my experience over the years that that's who God uses. We read in the Bible of Moses as in the valley of Rephidim as they're having a battle, and it took Aaron and Hur to hold up his arms. But both men became great men of God in their own right. It was Joshua that was down on the battlefield and he was leading the troops in the battle and he was fighting. And as the arms were raised, the battle would be won. But as they would lower and get tired, the enemy would fight back. But it was also Joshua that was down there in the trenches, paying his dues, being an encouragement to Moses. It was Joshua that came back from across the River Jordan and from Canaan land and said, "We are well able to take it." Boy, that encourages the leader. Moses and Aaron had enough discouragement, didn't they? 10 had come back and they said, "No, we are like grasshoppers in their sight." But 2 came back, Joshua and Caleb, and said, "We are well able and we can win the battle." Listen, before we lead, we must learn to encourage and to be a help to those in the ministry. Can I encourage you to take some time and write a note to your Sunday school teacher? They need encouragement. They need help in the ministry. You say, "Well, I believe God's called me for something." One day you'll need the encouragement. So why don't you encourage them? This week I had some little kids show up at my door, knock on my door, and they stand out there giggling. But you should see the card that I got from Noah Vart. All handmade. Great big block letters. "We love you, Pastor Fury." Hey, I'm not throwing that out. Because one day when you guys are mean to me, I can pull that out of my drawer. And I can look at that and say, "Hey, little Noah loves me." Praise the Lord. The gift of encouragement. David had that before he could become king. He would encourage a king. I want you to notice that he also shouted for those in the battle. He didn't just encourage the king. He didn't just encourage the leadership. He didn't just serve his brethren. But he began to shout for those in the battle. Took to 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Bible says in verse 17, "And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight." And look what he did. He shouted for the battle. Hey, I don't believe he was a warmonger. I was believing he was saying, "Hey, army of God, go get them. We're praying for you. We're behind you." Oh, the folks in the battle, they need that today. They need you to encourage them in prayer. And by the way, they need to know that you're praying for them. Would to God that we'd all have the gift of encouragement. You say, "Well, that's not my spiritual gift." Hey, it doesn't have to be your gift. You can actually work on it. You can make an effort. It may not be the gift that God has given you. It may not be the thing that is most prominent in your life. But everybody can say, "Hey, I'm praying for you." But when you say you're praying for them, you need to actually pray for them. Encourage them in the Lord and shout for the battle. Say, "Hey, get after it. I'm behind you." Yesterday I noticed, maybe you noticed too, that John Colburn put out on Twitter. He says, "Hey, I'm going to my in-laws for dinner tonight. Please pray that I won't back down from telling them about Jesus." Wasn't the exact words, but he wanted to witness to them. He says, "Please pray that I won't get scared." So I wrote him a little note. "John, we're praying for you. Go get them. Come on. Man, I want to know that those folks got saved. I want to hear about that." And we need to encourage one another in that area. Hey, it only takes a minute to look at the prayer list and go to somebody and say, "Hey, how's so-and-so doing? How's your neighbor that you've been witnessing to? I'm praying for you." David shouted for those in the battle. I want you to notice that David just didn't wake up one morning and they said, "Okay, now you're king." From the time he was about 13 until he was about 33 or 30, for over 20 years, he said, "I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to shout for the battle. I'm going to serve my brethren. I'm going to serve the king. I'm going to do whatever I can to make the army of God successful." Hey, that ought to be our goal. David was given the responsibility of being an encourager, allowing his brothers to worship, an armor bearer, a musician, supporting his brothers in battle. But all of that he did was meant to uphold the work of God. You know, every job is important. Everything's important. You know how many times, folks, that you've come to church on a Sunday morning and we've had Nelson or Austin out plowing the snow at 4:30 in the morning? Hey, that's important. You couldn't come to church if we couldn't get you in the driveway. 4:30 in the morning, while you're still sleeping, and maybe for another 3 hours, 4 hours, they're out working and toiling. That is so important. That upholds the ministry. It's important that the rest of the church is able to get in. It's important that we can open the doors. It's important that the heat is on, the lights are on, everything is working. It's important that the building is clean. All of that upholds the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. You remember what I told you about David when he was just a little boy? How he served his brethren. He stayed back and he kept the sheep so that they could go. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, if we'd read a little bit further, you would find out that David was still keeping the sheep. He had been entertaining in the king's court and encouraging King Saul by playing the harp. But it seems like when war broke out, David had to return home. No doubt because some of the other brothers had to go off to war and somebody had to do the work at home. And so David was summoned home and he was keeping the sheep. And you'll remember that David's brother Eliab said, "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. You've just come to spoil the battle. With whom did you leave those few sheep?" David was back serving his brethren once again, and yet they didn't appreciate it. But I want you to notice what happens when we serve others. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped. How many of you know there's trouble when the Bible says he escaped? David was running from King Saul and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, what's it say they did? They went down thither to him. David, who spent his life in serving his brethren and encouraging them, was now encouraged by his brethren. Hey, that's what a family's all about. That's what a church family's all about. And David made it a point, even though he wasn't appreciated, even though Eliab said, "I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart," David just kept serving. He just kept loving his brethren. He just kept pouring himself into them. And now when he's about to be the king, he's not king yet, but he's running for his very life because Saul is jealous of him. His family and his brethren said, "You remember what David did for us? Let's go and encourage him." And they met him at the cave Adullam. David had to learn how to serve in the lesser things. Here's a man that was anointed as the king, hiding for his life in a cave. And it happened more than once. David wrote this in Psalm chapter 84, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness." David had a servant's heart. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Young people, I want you to know, I believe God has a plan for your life. But put in the time. Put in the effort. Put in the work. That you might be the very best that God wants you to be. Grow into that position. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained to other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Look what the Bible says now. "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Sometimes God is just testing us to see how we will handle the little things. Will we be faithful? Will we be a good steward of it? Let me tell you this. God will never trust you with $1,000 if He can't trust you with $100. If you won't be faithful in tithing just that $10, He's not going to give you more. He's not going to trust you or bless you. He says, I want to see you faithful in the few things. And I believe that David understood that. And so he was faithful in whatever God put before him and served the Lord. He learned how to serve in the little things. Secondly, he had to learn how to submit in the greater things. You know, just because we grow up and we have a position now doesn't mean that we are unaccountable. David was still accountable to the Lord. And sometimes we think that we'll one day get there and we'll be in charge of our own destiny. No, we're all subject to somebody. We all must submit to the Lord in greater things. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we read that Samuel anointed David as king. And at that very moment, the Spirit of God came upon him and left King Saul. And yet, over and over again, David submitted himself unto the king. I can't imagine. David had to know that there was an evil spirit in King Saul. And he had the Spirit of God upon him. He was the anointed one. And yet he humbly played his harp for the king. You'll remember when David was hiding in En-Gedi. Saul went there and with his troops and entered into the very cave that David was hiding in. The Bible says that in the darkness, David reached out and he cut a little portion from his skirt. All the men, David's mighty men, were in that cave and they were whispering one back and forth with one another saying, kill him, David. This is your chance. Kill him and you'll be the king. David reached out and he cut that little portion, but the Bible says his heart smote him because he had touched God's anointed. And he followed King Saul out of that cave and he said, Saul, king, please know I mean you no harm. And Saul's heart was rebuked that day. If you read the scriptures, you'll find that Saul's heart was turned for a while towards David. Because David submitted himself to the king when he could have been king that very day. Listen, we need to understand this. Biblical leadership is never seized. It is always granted. It is always granted. Let me encourage you. The Bible says, he that desireth the position of a bishop desireth a good thing. And you may say, well, I desire to serve more. That's wonderful. And God knows the desires of your heart. God knows if you've surrendered and God knows if you have a desire to serve. And don't be discouraged if you have to wait a bit. Take the time to learn and to train and to grow. Because biblical leadership is never seized. It's always granted. In other words, don't say, well, I'm going to take charge here. Listen, let God promote you. I'm reminded of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says when they came out of that fiery furnace, God promoted all of them to be in charge of provinces of Babylon. Isn't that interesting? That just a few hours earlier, they refused to bow. They just took their stands as servants of God, and God promoted them and used them. We see Daniel got out of the lion's den, and God promoted him. We see Joseph got out of the prison, and God promoted him. Time after time in the Bible, those that will patiently pay their dues, God will bless and use them for His glory. David had to learn how to submit in the greater things. While encouraging the troops, David understood that there was no one willing to fight the giant. And so he volunteered. But he still could not fight the giant until Saul said, go, and the Lord be with thee. He had no authority. If David had run as a vagabond out in the middle of that field and said, I'm just going to go rogue and I'm going to take over this battle and I'm going to fight that giant, I don't believe God would have blessed it. But because the king said, go and God be with thee, he had the authority of the king. And he submitted to him, even though the anointing of God was already on him. He trusted the leadership. And God blessed him as a result. Let me encourage you, young people, you may have all the potential in the world. Cultivate it. and let God promote you. God has a plan for your life, and He'll use you if you're willing. For many years, David served with great potential, but it wasn't until God's timing did he become king. His father had forgotten him when it came time to worship. His brother discouraged him when he came to the battle. His king sought to kill him, all before he would become the king. What did David do? He just simply submitted to the training that God had ordained for him. So many today want the shortcut. They don't want to pay their dues. Put in the time. Trust that the Lord knows exactly what He's doing. I got out of Bible college in 1994. We went to Stony Creek, and I had never been to Stony Creek in my life that I can remember. I wasn't even sure where Stony Creek was. Pastor Massaker called me on the phone and in the spring sometime, and I guess Pastor Schuler had been talking to him about me working there, and so he called me and he made an offer. He said, "I've been praying about this, and I believe the Lord would have it if you would." And so I prayed about it for a little while and decided that we would go to Stony Creek. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was excited. I'm getting out of Bible college. God's given me the job and an assistant pastor already. Praise the Lord. Man, this is going to be exciting. The only problem was is I grew up here. And I thought every church in Canada was like this. I didn't know that churches only had 35 seats in them. I didn't know that kids came and ate popcorn on the back row during the service. Pastor Masker was just battling in that place and just trying to get things right. He says, "Listen, we ought to honor God." And he was cleaning all that mess up and trying to help. I didn't know that you could go and work at a church and they only paid you $50 a week. I didn't know that my office was going to be right beside the water heater. You know, you have big dreams. But I look back on those days with fondness. I mean, praise the Lord. What a great way to humble somebody. Amen. What a great training ground. Pastor Masker said this to me. He says, "I can't offer you much in finances, but," he says, "I can give you lots of experience." And boy, did we learn. First time I had to preach, I remember it was a Wednesday night that first summer, and I'd only been there a short time, just a few weeks. And that morning, on a Wednesday morning, a fellow by the name of John Bramer had a massive heart attack. He'd gone to the hospital, and Pastor Masker's that morning was also a volunteer fireman, and so he was fighting a fire. And as soon as he got done with the fire, he called me because he was at the fire. He says, "Go to the hospital, John Bramer." I said, "All right." So I went up there. About 2 p.m, he came back, and I guess I'd been at the hospital since about 5 a.m. About 2 p.m, Pastor Masker came by, and he said, "Listen," he says, "I'll take over for a while." He says, "I went home, I showered, I grabbed a little rest." He says, "You go." And I said, "All right." I'm leaving my home. We were in an apartment about 7 o'clock for a 7:30 service. And I'm just going out the door and the phone rang. And Pastor Masker was on the phone and I ran back and I got it. And he said, "Listen, John Bramer just passed away." He says, "You're preaching in 30 minutes. Get ready." Huh? I preached everything I knew in 10 minutes. I tell you, you think, well, I'm done college now. I've got the world by the tail. Man, it changes real quick. But look back on those moments and say, man, what a training ground. God is shaping your life. Somebody said this, when you quit learning, you die. I feel like I'm still in a training ground. 21 years later, I feel like I know less now than I thought I did then. We must always be growing. Learn how to submit in the greater things. David submitted to the training that God had for him. And here's the last thing tonight. David learned to respect God's authority in all things. In all things. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24. I've already referred to this, so we'll just read it quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 24. It came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheepcotes by the way, and there was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy unto thine hand, and thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also rose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the King! When Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. David learned how to respect the king. Here was a king that the Spirit of God had left. Here was a king in jealous fits of anger tried to have David killed. Here was a king that his heart was right full of hatred, so much so that he gathered 3,000 men to go to En-Gedi and try to have David killed. And yet David said, God forgive me. You're still the king, and I'm going to respect you. Something David learned that is a good lesson for all of us. When we can't respect the person, we can respect the position. I can't tell you how many times I've counseled young people, hey, he's still your father. You may not like the decision he made. Sometimes it's a young person from an unsaved family, and they'll come and they'll say, well, my dad won't let me go to Bible camp. Hey, he's still your father. My parents are just stupid. Hey, they're still your parents. You will never be a leader. You will never be a leader with that attitude. Learn how to respect God's authority. By the way, parents are God's authority. Young people, amen? Amen. Parents say amen, amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:1. It's Bible. Whether you think they're crazy, I saw a great little thing this week somebody sent me. It says, young people, stop mocking your parents when they don't understand electronics. They had to teach you how to use something as simple as a toilet. That's the truth. Listen, have respect for authority. David may not have been able to respect the person, but he sure respected the position of King Saul because he was God's anointed. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1 and we'll be done. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Of course, you know that Saul has died and he fell upon his sword, but it did not kill him, at least not quickly. And so he begged for this young man, an Amalekite, to take his life. And this Amalekite came and he told David what had happened. And in verse 13, it says, David said unto the young man that told him, Whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? David called one of the young men and said, Go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. Boy, David had respect for God's authority, didn't he? He says, How could you dare raise your hand against the king? He's your king. It wasn't the enemy's king, he's your king. How could you raise... That's God's anointed. How could we speak about Him like that? We live in a day and age where it is in vogue to tear up our politicians. To speak bad about police officers and things like that. God has put them there for a purpose. And instead of tearing them up, we should take a page from David and encourage the king. Encourage those in authority. Romans 13 says they bear not the sword in vain. They are ambassadors for good for you. They're there to be a blessing and a help. We ought not disrespect. I don't like it when I hear somebody say, well, my old man, you know, that's your father. Somebody, you know, they'll say, well, the fuzz or the popo or these slang terms they use for cops, police officers. That's disrespectful. We need to learn to respect in all things. How will we have credibility when we're a leader? Listen, you want somebody to respect you? You got to respect them. This evening even, I kind of got on one of the young people. Because when somebody was up here playing their instrument, they were down here. I went, buddy, you're going to be up here in a minute. And you're going to want them to respect you. Learn to respect in all things. Listen, you say, why are you praying? This is the marks of leadership. And we need God's people to be leaders. Hey, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And we need Christian leadership in Norfolk County. But we have to have character first. Now, I know David sinned and David messed up, but hey, so do we. But he had character. And because of his integrity and because of his character, when he fell and when he sinned, he'd fall upon his face before God and make it right. And God could use him again. David had respect for God's authority in all things. If you don't get anything else tonight, take that with you. I'm going to respect the authority God has placed in my life, no matter what it is. I may not like it. I may have a problem with that person. But I'm going to respect them because God has placed them there. Let's learn from the life of King David and learn to serve in the lesser things. Learn to submit in the greater things. And learn to respect God in all things. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight to learn from this young man who would become king. Father, from right to the moment when he could have got caught up thinking, now I'm the king, he still had a great respect for Saul, God's anointed. Father, I pray you bless us in this time. We pray that you would raise up in our young people some men and women that will be leaders, that will want to serve you. There's some adults here tonight that perhaps they would step up and do more for God, and with a surrendered heart, God would use them. Do more than they ever could imagine for His cause. Father, I pray you bless us as we sing this invitation hymn tonight. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If God has spoke to your heart, the altar is open even now. May God make us servants first, that He may use us later. Faithful guide. We're glad that you're here. Pastor McDonald's going to come and he's going to share some announcements with us. Let me say this. On Tuesday, the staff has been going out and visiting and doing discipleship and different things like that. Last week at 3:30, we went out and did some door knocking and distributed some flyers for the Resurrection Cantata. And if you'd like to join us, we'll do that again this Tuesday, 3:30. Just going out and doing some flyers. Last week, we went to apartment buildings because it was still 25 below and it was cold and windy that day. But this week, we're hoping to have some nice weather. And if you want to get out and stretch your legs, come and join us and pray for us at that time at 3:30. That would be a wonderful blessing. We'd appreciate that so much. I'm going to ask the young people tonight that participated in the service if you would go to the door and line up three on either side. And folks will just encourage them tonight and let them know you'll be praying for them as they go to convention this week, that they'll represent the Lord Jesus Christ in a good way. And so we're going to have them go over there. And Pastor McDonald's going to come and dismiss us with some announcements.
Amen. Okay. Just a few, actually. Coming up this week, again, as the pastor's already mentioned, please pray for the young people. As they go, that is a nerve-wracking time experience, but it's a good growing experience for them. Pray for all our young people here at Bethel Baptist Church. The devil wants them. He wants to destroy their lives. But through our prayers, and through our testimonies, and through our efforts, we can fight for them. So let's do that. Also, to remind you that there's a teen fellowship right after the service tonight. And if you don't have a ride, you need a ride, just meet out in the main foyer here and we'll get you one. All right? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the message that was preached tonight, Lord. Such lessons we learn from David's life and such a well-prepared person he became, Lord. And you used him mightily. Even today, Lord, when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to come to the throne of David, Lord. Such an honor you've placed upon him. And here he was just a simple person of great faith and trust in you and you're providing for him. Father, help us to have that in our own lives. Help us to depend upon you. Help us to grow. Help us to be faithful in those small things that you would elevate us up. And Father, we'll thank you for it, Lord. We don't deserve any of this, but because of your great love and your great provisions for us, we have that way. We thank you now, Lord. Just give us safety and fellowship later on tonight as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. God bless you now as you go.